Through you, Madam Mayor and Council, this year the capacity report went out to Tatum. They did a capacity report and it basically came back as it's actually our we're running at 56% this year, ready capacity. And that's on a 5-year average daily flow of 986 cubic meters a day. Last year was actually higher than that. So 56% of the 1,750 cubic meters a day. So the plant is uncommitted. They're stating the plant has uncommitted reserve capacity of 212 cubic meters a day, which represents 12% of the rated capacity, meaning there's room for additional connections. That also is with the 547 unconnected but approved lots in the equation. So there's enough capacity at the plant right now to accommodate up to 211 additional connections with the remaining reserve capacity of 212 cubic meters a day. This indicates that the wastewater treatment has the ability to accommodate new growth without exceeding its rated capacity or reserve limit based on the current flow data and reserve capacity calculations. And again, Tatum did comment about average per capita flow rate, which we've known for a long time, being 670 liters per person a day, is quite high. And this is indicative of significant inflow and infiltrations, which we've been dealing with for years. INI problem. So I basically say a higher rate, like 670 liters per person a day, suggests that more water entering the system than just wastewater from homes and business. Inflow is actual inflow from some pumps. Infiltration is through the cracks. They stayed in here, same we know for here. It could be groundwater entering the system through direct connections, roof drains, some pumps, while infiltration refers to water seeping into pipes through cracks or other issues with systems integrity. An ongoing addressing of the INI will further increase the reserve capacity for the township. And it's, like I said, went to Tatum this year. And basically they're stating that we got lots of room for growth still. And that's basically it.
Thank you. Questions? Comments? Councillor Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Through you too, Phil. You, I think I heard you say that it was higher last year. Our usage of water was higher, or the water running through the wastewater facility was higher last year. Do you think this has anything to do with mitigating stormwater coming in? How would you explain that?
Well, there could be lots of significant reasons. It could have been a wetter year. You know, it's all on your yearly daily flow. So whatever your number is throughout the year, the 365, it's your average day that goes against your capacity of 1750. So in the summer, our dry weather flows are 500 cubic meters a day. And actually, that's the only time we ever have, and I will state that we haven't had an inspection in 6 years, usually every 3 years. So that's good news because the ministry doesn't see a problem with us. So it's good. This is the way it's happening. But our dry weather flows are 500 cubic meters a day. And that's the only time that we have a problem with staying in compliance, because when the new design of the plant came, it was built to effectively, you know, process sewage with a higher flow, because it was basically what I'm saying, that the flows, when their flows, it becomes an issue because they're so low. Where we dose our effluent going out into the influent chamber, so when the flows come down that low, it's actually the contact time is in the pipe. So the stirring and everything in the influent channel is what mixes your chlorine in, and your contact time is from the sewage treatment plant to the dechlor bill, and that's where dechlorination takes place. So when our flows are that low, we have a problem mixing it in the pipe that is actually the contact chamber. But then we run into problems with E. coli. But we've always been, you know, compliant. We were a couple of years ago had problems, but again, we address this every time. We let the ministry know, and they have no problem. They understand. So the plant actually works better when we have a bit of INI. But that's again not what we want. But basically, they went on a 5-year average last time we did. It was on a 3-year, and going by 5-year average, it's brought our flows down even lower than last year. So Are the flows representative of actually what's happening over there? 100%. It's like today, we ran, I think yesterday we ran at 797 cubic meters, but tomorrow could be higher because it's more melting. So we do get INI through the thaw, but it's over the yearly average that is what you want to watch. So I basically just watch the numbers every month, and I know where we are. And then at the end of the year, I can just look and see, you know, where we're at, and it's good. So thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, again, one of the things too is we have to remember that now we have a bylaw in place for being able to enter a house, a sewage use bylaw. So for example, say you have a block of houses and there's 10 sump pumps that are hooked into our sanitary sewer system. So you're pumping 60 gallons a minute each pump. So that's 600 gallons if it's 10 pumps a minute. So do that over 24 hours, over 360, like it's huge within that storm. So we have a bylaw now that we can go in and actually enter the homes and first of all, educate them, tell them how much more it's costing us by treating stormwater, and then, you know, take that approach and hopefully they'll unhook. But if need be, we'll have to, you know, actually go in and disconnect them because it is a huge issue. So I've figured this out over the years that this is, I think our biggest problem is actual inflow from sump pumps at homes. But it can be eradicated if we just start educating people and move forward that way. I think it would be a huge accomplishment to get even our INI even down 25-30%, because that is huge. Like basically when we did a bit of work a few years ago, we made up, I think it was around 90 cubes, and that's, you know, potentially 125, 140 homes with the per rate capita and the, what a person uses every day for liters of water. Thank you.
Yes, Councillor Schreiber.
Through you, Madam Mayor, to Phil. Phil, I'm just curious, like there's influent data and affluent data. One data, one data. I'm curious, like how is that actually captured?
The thing is, you know, 2019 was the date that we stopped taking data from the influent. And you really don't want me to go into all of it because it was probably 5 or 6 years of, you know, getting to. You really, every sewage treatment plant, you want to collect your data from the influent. That is the basic code that you do it. But we knew at that time that we couldn't, because you need instantaneous flow to collect the proper data. And at that time, we went to the ministry. When we first went online in 2012, we have a mag meter. It's at the decor is FIT 615. That were to collect data. So some things happened. It was pretty crazy there for a little while, and we actually had studies done where they're collecting the wrong data and they were using the part. Well, right off the bat, we know that partial flume is not accurate. We cannot get it calibrated because of the benching in the flume. So that was it goes back historically to a civil engineer, like, you know, it's just a mistake made then, but we know it's out of niche. So within partial flumes, actually what we have going into the plant is saying, because we have as exiting in a chamber in our actually go through another flume, it's recording more, which should be less, because you're losing water because you're wasting. You waste it's waste activated sludge. So you're actually should be lower, but it's actually more. So we know that it's incorrect. So that point in 2019, it had switched in the ministry, stated that we needed to put an instantaneous flow meter in the plant. And I stated then that we couldn't do that. And they said, well, we're going to go higher than you. We're going to the engineers. They come back and they said, you don't have to do it because it wouldn't be, we have a pumping station. So it's, when they say instantaneous flow, it means steady flow. And it has to be at that is recorded. But with a pumping station, it's all on measurement. It's all on levels in our pumping station. Well, when it kicks on, it kicks off. So you know, with your pumps and everything, they could be running at full speed, then ramp down to 30. It's all has to do with EFDs too.
So, and I'm actually like curious how's the data actually captured? So I'm just like, where's it read? And then you get a report on it. I'm just curious.
It's actually collected right before the declare building. It's called a mag meter. So it's a magnetic meter and it's the state of the art flow meter. And that's what we record on. And it's actually in their ECA. That's what we are to record from is FIT 615. And that's where we record from.
Deputy Mayor Arthur.
Just as a follow-up. Jackie had a question in regards to this report. So did we get that answered?
Planning manager. Victoria Heffernan. Speaking.
Through you, Madam Mayor, to members of council. So in the calculations, I'll let the operations manager speak to the specifics of how the math works and how the calculations work with the formula. But this report is required by the planning department, hopefully every year when we have a significant amount of approvals that go forward. So as you know, when you have the urban boundary or any development in the urban boundary, any approvals that got forward or get pushed forward, you need to make sure that you have the allocation available to approve those planning decisions. So any subdivision, any severance within the urban boundary, you need to make sure that there's allocation available to commit to that development. So that those numbers are in this report and are accounted for when they do the capacity calculations. So this report is required for me to bring forward or even entertain any applications to bring forward for council and give accurate information to make sure that we can have more development. So any of the uncommitted reserve that is still available and any committed reserve is all the approvals that council has approved to date.
And I understand it's gone out to an engineer for another study. Is that correct?
No, they're the ones who actually wrote this report. Yeah, they did this report for us.
Has the question been answered?
Okay, yeah. To speak on what Victoria's saying there, yeah, I guess for the planning department, but basically for us, we're operators. We know how the plant runs. We see the flows. We see what we're at every year. And, you know, we just watch the numbers, which was, you know, that's what we were to do through council and, try and fix the INI. But as far as how the plant's operating and our flows, it's been the same for the last 5 years. I don't know if this is a legislative thing every year, get a capacity report, but it is what it is. So, but to answer your question, Jackie, what's number two? Is the fact that there's a course there. Average daily flow to maximum daily flow doesn't matter. It does happen. You can actually go over your maximum daily flow. It all depends on your loadings. So if you're still compliant with your TSS suspended, if you're still compliant in your loadings, then this is something to happen. But again, Tatum that did this has never been to our plant. So, you know, hopefully in the future they come down and see it, but we actually have an attenuation pond that no one, you know, you'd have to, you, I'd love to take you over there someday and show you how everything works, but there's a lot of factors here that really make a difference in this report. So when our flows are running high, we can actually run into an attenuation pond. And when the flows settle down, we can bring it back through the plan.
So we're moving on. This is not a debate at this point.